Wrestling Omakase brings you a full-course meal of all of Japanese wrestling, men's and women's. Join me, a Japanese wrestling fan for over 20 years, along with a rotating cast of equally knowledgeable co-hosts, as we cover everything from New Japan and Stardom to NOAH, All Japan, DDT, Tokyo Joshi, Marigold, Sendai Girls, Dragon Gate, Gleet, Ice Ribbon, and even more stuff. If you're a fan of Japanese wrestling and you want coverage of the entire scene in one podcast, check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network each and every week. Get us wherever you get podcasts today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
To the highway, in a brand new day, gotta let it go. Fast to finger down.
Start to light together. Kill everyone thinking.
Welcome back to Open the Voice Gate for June 2nd, 2026. We are members of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can find us on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast feed or on our own dedicated Open the Voice Gate feed. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can follow us on social media at Open Voice Gate, both on X and on Blue Sky. And if you'd like to donate to the show, click the link in the show notes. It'll take you to our redcircle.com landing site. You click the red box that says sponsor this podcast and you set up a one-time or reoccurring donation. No obligation whatsoever, but we would like to offer a special thanks to all of our donors. I'm one of your hosts. It's your old pal, Mike Spears, and I'm joined alongside Case Lowe. And I'm just going to say, Case told me to hit record, and that's why everything was so fast, because we had a topic in pre-production that was supposed to be the lead topic. So, Case, take it away.
I want to make it very clear. I've been doing this show with Mike for a very long time now. I never once have began a show this way, which is a second before Mike started recording, I said, fuck you, let's start recording, and now we're here.
Everyone's going to be so let down.
I don't know. It's something that we haven't ventured into in quite a while. So
yeah,
we're going over our schedule and some, you know, you're going to get voice get a day early next week. I'm not going to be on VoiceGate 2 weeks from now. The next episode of those days, TBD, but it's going to be a huge one, so it's going to be worth the wait. And Mike starts pontificating over what he might do the week that I'm gone, and he mentioned a promotion. And Mike, I saw this earlier today, and I thought, there's no way that what I'm reading is true. There's no way that this can actually be. This summer, which we're in now, I can tell we're in summer.
We're in the summer right now.
I can tell we're in summer because, one, Mike hopped on the call tonight. He's like, hey, just so you know, I have a severe storm warning for the next 15 minutes. I go, well, do you want to wait 15 minutes and just make sure you're okay? He goes, no, I'm good. I know we're in summer because Mike is broadcasting from a hurricane every single week. And also, I've been in the mood to watch Jaws recently. So there are summer-adjacent things happening. But on July 1st, which is a Wednesday.
Yes, I'm well aware.
From SGC Hall Ariake, which is
correct,
a legendary venue.
This is a new one.
Okay. Well, it's already legendary in my mind.
Okay, fair.
I mean, you know, given the matches that are booked on this show, how can it not be legendary? I'm reading, and you tell me if I'm wrong. That it's the 5th anniversary of Gleet 1 month from now?
Yes, and you know what makes it even worse for me? The fact that my birthday is forever now tagged to the Gleet anniversary sign.
That's tough.
Yeah, especially this year, it's a 540 for them. It's 5 for them and 40 for me. Like, I don't want to be celebrating my birthday in this way, Case.
No, I can't imagine that you would. I don't know how anybody would. I can't believe this promotion is 5 years old. That feels insane to me.
Yeah, and it, especially with how everything with this promotion has been, I think people turn towards us, and not to toot my own horn, but turn towards me and go like, oh, how are we doing? Like, how is this promotion still existing?
And I would not toot that horn too loudly. I would be very shameful about that. I would not feel good. Here's some Catholic shame I can send in your direction.
I have like Kazuchika Okada and the Young Bucks. I have a life oath obligation to cover the split until it ends. And if Shima comes back, that's it. It's over. Glade can go F off. But until then, I'm covering the split until it ends.
So what's been happening in 2026?
All right. So really, everything has been in the aftermath of all the departures and trying to find stability throughout this incredibly broken promotion. And how broken is it? Ryuichi Kawakami has a face turn, and that kind of was the big kind of storyline. And he's now showing up in like a flower singlet and bright orange hair as like the leader of the babyface army. At this point.
Hold on. I mean, yeah. Jesus Christ. I expected
because
it to be
the,
bad.
The anti-Glee monsters no longer exist, by the way.
Okay. I want to be clear. I haven't watched a second of Glade this year. I don't know what's happening with the promotion. Other than that, there's been some stuff that I've seen on paper. Mm-hmm. I think they're doing a tournament right now, and I think Ishida and Yamamura just wrestled each other.
Yes, they are in the midst of the G-Class tournament, which is their single elimination kind of tournament, which the winner of the G-Class tournament will be facing El Lindemann, probably most likely for the G-Rex title at the 5th anniversary show, which they're calling Sonic Wrestling.
Okay, I want to be very clear. And that Ishida versus Yamamura, and I think maybe they did T-Hawk versus Ishida too, or they're going to do T-Hawk versus Ishida. That sounds
T-Hawk versus the Ishida is the finals, which will be happening the same time as the Thursday Dragon Gate Cork and All show.
Oh, Jesus, all right, shit on top of shit, awesome. So,
buddy. Yeah, we're in it. It's 2026.
Somehow,
there is
Glade might have the better match on paper out of any of those. I mean, that's a dark statement to make, but it might be true. I might prefer T-Hawk versus Ishida to anything on that Thursday show, which you're going to be doing the written review for. So.
Right, and like everyone's remarking at how bad T-Hawk's current render is right now, but let me tell you, the person who's actually like showing the pain most right now is El Lindemann, because he stopped looking like a teenager. He looks like a weird man now. You know what I'm saying? Like the great thing about El Lindemann,
he looks like a weird man now.
Did you want me to? You know what I'll do right now.
I don't have his render. Where's it at?
No. You don't want the render. You want the actual photograph of him. This is what I'm going to do for you, Case.
He looks like a weird man. Oh, if somebody said that about me, I'd kill myself.
Case, what I'm about to do in my other window, I am touching the poop and pulling up the Glade channel. I'm going to pull up and I'm going to take a photograph and screenshot it and send it to you. And I want you to tell me, how do you feel El Lindemann looks like right now? I have to figure out where he is on this card that happened. It's one of the opening matches of it. But the big issue that we have with this is that essentially his like super drawn look and like buzz head, he just kind of hit the point where now he no longer looks like a teenager, and it's a odd look.
Yeah, it looks like a weird man, apparently.
He looks like a weird man to me, man. Let me fast forward. I have to fast forward to Daisuke Sekimoto knocking out your boy in a minute in a UWFI double match with Kendo Kishin.
I don't know who my boy is in 2026.
Tetsuya Izuchi.
Oh, I mean, I think he was my boy for a half second. That feels like a lofty allegation.
I can't find this photo, but I will send you a photo in the Discord after the show of this. I don't want to burn more time me scrubbing through a Glade show just for a joke here. But yeah,
So Kawakami turned face and is wearing a flower singlet
and bright orange hair. Brass Nux June is the leader of the heel army, which is called The Sick. And other than Yubari Genki from I don't know if he's 2AW or JTO. It's the same Slummers from Anti-Glee Warriors. And then really, like, the other thing of it, like, Hideki Shrek Chicane is in this feud with Takinori Ido over the Ledet UWFI belt. And that's where Tetsuya Izuchi got knocked out in a minute from a one of, like, the gnarliest looking clotheslines I've ever seen. They're rerunning the match this week because it was such a gnarly finish, and they hate Tetsuya Izuchi, so he has to get fed to the wolves again. But yeah, no, the show that they're having up on July 1st, Sonic Wrestling, a lot of AAA is showing up on it, but it's not like actual AAA stars, or at least what WWE AAA, whatever you say it. Like the current Drago has been hanging around, and they're sending a Abismo Negro Jr. and El Fiscal. So I mean, people.
So
who
this
are on
is
TV,
what I was gonna. This is what I was gonna read you. Was I wanted okay. to look at the first. So the Glate version one show from right. July 1, 2021. This was Lindemann versus Lindemann versus Hayato Tamura, Kyoko Inoue versus Michiko Miyagi, Shima Onetsuka and Irie versus Hayashi, Kazayashi, Kiichi Sato and Soma Watanabe, Kawakami versus T-Hawk, and then the second half of the show is all UWF rules matches, with the main event being Sho defeating Takanori Ito by referee's decision, which I don't remember at all.
It's dire shit.
I mean, like, and we would have been, you know, somewhat intrigued by that, but I don't.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I don't remember that at all. Well, honest question, like not even like a joke answer. When okay. you think about 5 years of Glate, what?
Yeah.
What's the best thing that comes to mind? Because I have two answers for if I had to justify this promotion existing at all, I could sure. give you two things.
Okay, first and foremost is the fact that we have a healthy, or at least what we assume is a healthy, Takahiro Yamamura wrestling.
Okay.
Like the fact that he came back for good and is healthy now and hasn't had any neck or back issues since what all happened to him in the freelance Strong Hearts days. Like, I think that is an unquestioned positive, and I think you would agree with me on that.
I would agree. That's not what I was thinking about, but I would agree with that. Yes.
Number two for me, T-Hawk finally showed personality in his G-Rex title run.
That's he actually crazy. Like, that is crazy that's where you're going.
He had like a wild series of like matches where he's like big brother. T-Hawk might be like my favorite person day in and day out when I watch Glate. He had like this insane match against Shinya Aoki last year that I know you still have not seen, even though I'm like, Case, you need to watch T-Hawk versus Shinya Aoki, but it was amazing. It was fantastic. And I like that kind of aspect of it. But other than that, it's turtles all the way down. Like I don't think it's been a good landing spot for the people from Russell One who have ended up there. I think that even though that was like the real bottle runs of the whatever was left of the Ace School and like that, because most of them moved on to like All Japan or elsewhere. But like, I wouldn't say that necessarily that Soma Watanabe is in a better position now because he was in Glade. I think that is it. So I just go to T-Hawk and Yamamura, and those are kind of my two positives.
Okay, the Yamamura one, absolutely. I hadn't thought about that. The two things I think about from this promotion that I genuinely enjoyed was, one was the October 2022 Korakuen show, which was Ishida's debut. And I'm looking back right. at this card now. This was Bandido and Commander versus Kazayashi and Soma Watanabe, Czech Shimatani, when we believed in him, and Jake Lee versus Shima and Jun Tancho, Kaito Ishida in his debut versus Tetsuya Izuchi, Lindemann, Onetsuka, and T-Hawk versus Kazuma Sakamoto, Shigehiro Irie, and Tomoaki Hanma, and then the main event, which was Jun Kasai and Masashi Takeda versus Hayato Tamura and Ryuichi Kawakami, which I believe is still their highest attended Korakuen ever. And
oh yeah,
the mix of Bandido, Ishida, and Jun Kasai on that show, you couldn't help but watch it and feel like there was something happening there. And for the first time ever, that promotion had momentum. And then the next month, they went back to Korakuen, and this is when they put Ishida in Black Generation with Flamita and Yutani, which is insane to look back on in hindsight. And it was just one of those deals.
All the people
where,
that were in BGI, like, since we're doing this case, the listing of who all was in BGI is insane. Like,
yeah, I mean, but that angle where Ishida joined, it just fell so flat, and it killed any immediate momentum that this promotion had. And you knew it in the room. Mm-hmm. It was not as catastrophic as this because the stakes weren't high, and I don't think it was as poorly received, but it was the same thing as when Minoura broke up the Shuji Kondo Kai Dreamgate match. And in the moment, you and I have watched enough wrestling where you go, oh, this is bombing. This is bombing really bad. And to see the difference between Ishida coming in and feeling genuinely hot and us spending a lot of time talking about it to a month later, this unit with Flamita and Yutani, who you and I were super early on, and Bandito and Action Jackson, in theory, a great unit.
Imperator Azteca. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You had Galeno in it too for like a second. I think for a second.
And so,
Galeno was only in Bulk Generation. Sorry.
Yeah. You know, how could you?
Or Bulk Orchestra.
You and I will have to battle to the death in a 5-star match game, Glate edition, which nobody will listen to. And I would never make Joe Gagne do, let the record show. But it was
finally get me my third win.
Oh, it's going to be so dire when you, Al, and I play this year. It's going to be so bad. But
I'm going to need questions about Pro Wrestling Kageki exclusively.
Yeah. Joe Gagne, lean heavy on Osaka Pro booking this year. That is something I've paid attention to. I can't promise anything else. But it was just interesting the way that it died, and that promotion was never the same. But the other thing that it gave us was that January 2023 Osaka match between Ishida and Al Lindemann, which felt like a long lost chapter of a Dragon Gate story that was finally being paid off.
Well, it's that missing generation. Yeah, that Jay was talking about a few weeks ago.
And you really felt it in that match where you just went, God, Ishida obviously was around much longer than Lindemann was, but you just wish these guys could have stayed home and not had to make the decision that they did to leave, because they're clearly such elite level wrestlers that just aren't. I mean, Ishida never wrestles anymore. You know, it's such a bummer. He was in All Japan for a little bit and did great work there, but he just never wrestles anymore. He's a complete non-entity in the grand scheme of things, and it sucks. It's really a bummer. But 5 years of Glate, and as of now, the card that we have, again, just to reiterate, it is a Glate AAA 6-man tag, and I want to talk to you about AAA in just a second too. You didn't know that was coming. Soma Watanabe, Arashi, and Elphys Scal versus Abismo Negro Jr., SBK, and Nobu-san. So I guess no Takuma Fujiwara. I would love to know the story there.
Yeah, no, SBK, it seems like he's over in Japan for a while. He's going to be on this week's Glate shows, the G-Class Finals.
Gotcha. And then special tag match, Kaz Hayashi and Minoru Tanaka versus Naomichi Marufuji and Kotaro Suzuki.
Yeah, they're bringing in the Noah people that CyberFight doesn't know what to do with. Like, they're bringing in all the Team Noah people to further down the card.
Hayashi retired, yes?
Yes, he's coming back for one match.
Oh, my God.
I'm kind of blame those days. I'm kind of up for it. Even though, like, he was a charming presence and like, non-essential throughout all of his existence in Glate. But him coming back, that will sell some seats. Sell some tickets, I bet.
I can't imagine. I don't know.
Maybe
that 6-man will be good, but Shekshi Watani is one of those guys that it just speaks to, I think, a wider issue in Japanese wrestling where, I mean, that guy was really good for a second, and it, you know, he went on excursion and then never came back, and you're just like, oh God, that guy, I mean, he could have been the next Shuji Kondo, and it doesn't feel that far-fetched. And instead, he's just a complete non-entity. I mean, you have to be so deep in the weeds in either AAA house shows or indie puro to know who that is. And then you have to have some history here and have been around for a few years to understand that at one point he was kind of a sought-after prospect.
Yeah, and like, he came out of that DDT DNA time period too. So like, you had like that portion of his career even before you got to the Glate thing. And I don't even know. I don't even know how much he really works, because to be honest, I keep more up on SBK and Taku, who actually have been working in the States now There is a new indie in Brownsville, Rio Grande Valley, that they worked at this week.
Interesting.
And they were at MLA a couple weeks ago.
So that is great. I mean, is there anything that you've watched this year that I should? I'm going to go back and watch the singles matches in this tournament because I think it looks decent on paper. But is there anything that you've seen?
The singles matches in the tournament have been good. Yamamura was good. I mean, the single matches have been good with the people that you expect them to be good with.
Okay.
Right, like you're not gonna like what they've done to my boy Jun Tancho. Like he is a completely fucking lost cause as Brass Knucks June. Like everyone complaining about black t-shirt heels, that's the worst heel in Japan right now. But I like Minoru Tanaka as like their 7-minute match champion, but I wouldn't necessarily say like go out of your way for it. It's just kind of a fun way to kind of have a legend on your card in an inconsequential way and not overwhelm the rest of your booking and bury your young guys. It's actually a stark concept, but the single matches, I really, again, it was late last year. I think that the T-Hawk versus Shinya Aoki match from the weird, creepy Cork and Hall show that they did is worth going out your way for.
All right, AAA really quickly. I have had I've had Fed Stans telling me to kill myself for 3 days now on a tweet that I immediately muted because I knew it was going to anger people, and boy did it. But
I have not seen this. I have been so busy with like stuff away from wrestling that I have not really like seen this yet.
Let me look at the numbers on it real quick. So I tweeted, wow, Jesus Christ, this really does have a lot of replies.
320,000 views.
You know what, Rob Viper, sensible reply, that's all I care about. So I tweeted, I understand it's hot in Mexico, but a company who has never respected Lucha putting two white guys in masks and booking it as their top program is obtusely lame, and I'm stunned that more people don't feel this way. I want to...
Oh, yeah. I mean... I completely co-sign what you said. Yeah, no, I'm with you. You're right.
So, you know, just to... not that anybody that fucking...
Yeah,
reacted with, oh, you're an AEW stan, is going to listen to this. But because there's people in our universe that... I had conversations about, and this has nothing to do with the match. We can talk about the match in a second, but nothing to do with the match. I am just stunned. Mm-hmm. I am absolutely taken aback by the abject whitewashing of AAA not being a major talking point across any serious wrestling pundit podcast. I'm stunned. I don't want to name names. I'm stunned that people that have deep history with covering Lucha are as okay with this as they are. And look, I don't like I'm off of CMLL right now. I don't like what that promotion is doing because I don't like all the AEW guys being involved. When I watch CMLL, I would like to watch the CMLL wrestlers, but the difference there is that's a booking decision that I don't agree with. It, you know, WWE is essentially the Trump administration, the company. You know, they're acting as an arm of the Trump administration.
Well, Trump now has been disclosed as a actual shareholder of. So
I said that to somebody at my shoot job today, and that blew their mind. They couldn't believe that. And I go, I know.
Which I will give a shout out to someone who also gets a lot of people angry about their WWE views. Guess who's right about the thing that they've been banning about for 8 years about that company? Congrats, Mongo eBooks. You are right. Mm-hmm. It is literally the Trump fundraiser.
It is the Trump fundraiser.
Big Trump fundraiser.
It is a company that acts as an extension, an LLC of the Trump administration. And even if that you don't care, because I mean, I don't look for morality in wrestling by and large. I don't care.
I went to film school pre-Me Too. Like, I had to come to terms with morality and art and artists a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Like,
but even if you can separate art from the artist, which I can, I don't have a problem with. I'm not looking for anybody. I never bought into David Starr being a cool liberal. I don't care. That does nothing for me. If somebody wants to share my values, which are typically lean progressive, more power to them. If they're a wrestler and they're conservative, which they all are, great. I can still watch them wrestle. But not only are they an arm of the Trump administration, they are a company that for 40 to 50 years has been telling you, Lucha Libre is a sideshow attraction. What we do is wrestling. What they do is a gimmick. Now we're going to come in here backed, at least publicly, because I don't buy into the idea that Mean Mark Calloway is grinding over great tapes to see what he can do with SB Kento and Takuma Fujiwara. But at least publicly, he's the face of this Mexican brand now, telling people to work an American style of wrestling that has nothing to do with the core of Lucha Libre. It drives me insane that they promote AAA as traditional Lucha Libre when they have always marketed themselves as not being that, and nobody seems to care. And I just think it sucks that, yes, Laredo Kid's booked, yes, Rey Fénix is booked, you've got the new La Parca, great, whatever. I think it sucks for Lucha as a whole that the top angle immediately became white guys cosplaying as luchadors, and that's now your main event. And I think that's okay to say that sucks. That really bothers me just for the state of wrestling as a whole and for Lucha Libre as a whole.
Yeah, no, I did not watch that show. The idea of that show, me watching that, never crossed my mind. Case, just so you know, like about this match that allegedly is like the greatest bit of storytelling in modern wrestling, apparently, if you listen to like some people, and people are acting like that it's Atlantis versus Ultimo Guerrero, and it's just like, to me, nothing over the last 8 years, and really when I stopped watching WWE, pretty much when Danielson retired the first time, way before that, like, and nothing has like made me like really think that like things have changed or like anything's going to properly be the right side of history as seen through the guise of TKO, and everything's kind of like pulled out that way. And I think the thing that's like so distressing and really kind of frustrating to me is that like, it's not that no shit. I think Gable and Dieter Jr. could have a insane match, but I feel like then in the same way, it's like manufactured in the way that at least NXT UK Walter versus Ilya Dragunov stuff was, you know, and it just does not interest me in the slightest. Like, and it's the same thing about with that company and the 30 under 30 to me. Like, it's just antithetical in what I believe pro wrestling should be.
Yeah, again, I don't, my point, just to clarify, you know, one more time, I'm not telling Mexicans they can't enjoy it. I feel like that's a really unfair interpretation of that, but that's what people are saying that I'm doing, which is not my goal at all. Again, I think it's over. I'm just shocked that more people in our bubble, people that have covered and maybe reported Lucha Libre results for years and years and years, I'm just stunned that they're going, I'm okay with this too. I don't know. It's really surprising to me, but I guess that's my own cross to bear. So I thought the match was good. I did not think it was great. I love what Kevin Hare wrote for Voices of Wrestling. I mean, Kevin is, you know, a good friend of mine, and I love his opinion on everything. I don't see what he saw in that match at all, but I love that Kevin wrote, because I love Kevin's mind when it comes to wrestling, and so I'm excited that he wrote that article. That's a great read if you haven't read it, but, you know, I don't know. I just wanted to clarify that a little bit, because, I mean, I knew I was going to get bodied for it. That's not the point. I don't care about that, but I also don't want people thinking that I'm policing what Mexicans can and can't enjoy. That's not the point of that, but I do think it's odd that the whitewashing of Lucha Libre has happened so rapidly and so unapologetically, and no one seems to care.
Yeah, it's a real depressing thing when you like look at it from like a macro sense and think about what does this mean 5-10 years down the road and what wrestling will be back at that point. To me, just, it's the kind of thing that and funny enough, like a person who has like had like his tabs on this in a way, I didn't think I was going to find a way to like bring this up. Like, Shima wrote a blog this last week talking about like the New Japan transfer to Cyberfight and TV Asahi, as well as like WWE and AAA, and how it's like changing the complete landscape. And he is an opportunist. He sees it as kind of like, this is a way for me to be agile, and the smaller companies now have a benefit there. But you really kind of like look at it, and I don't know. at least for me in 2026 and where wrestling is going. I used to think that like we were a very future forward kind of program, I think, for a long, long time. And I still think I'm a kind of a future forward kind of person, but it's just like I see how things are going and I'm going like, not this way for a future, not this way. And I just don't know how to veer it back on course in some ways.
No, I don't know either. And I know this is not my job, or at least it's me being bad at my job. I have zero feel whatsoever for what this New Japan sale means. Even after listening to the flagship last week and after
it's way too early, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just can't get a grasp on anything that it might affect. So I have no opinion on it, which I know is not really what I'm supposed to do, but I'm comfortable saying I have no opinion on it.
Yeah, you want me to let me do one thing that's going to frustrate people even more? Let's reassess this in December. Let's reassess this. Actually, let's reassess this January 5th, 2027. That's when I feel like at that time, I feel like that it is able to kind of judge this. And I understand the reaction economy. And I understand that, like, especially for like the two of us, we've kind of have like this nice little position where like we have our kind of way of looking at wrestling, and it's and sometimes it lets us to kind of have a little bit more of a provocative take. But I don't think this is time for provocative take. It's just like, oh, this makes a lot of sense. I always kind of thought that New Japan was going to get sold off before Stardom, because Stardom works with the rest of the Bushiroad properties, which are doing awful right now. And this is just kind of needs time to let play out.
Well, I used to always say, you know, especially post-pandemic, as a lot of the Japanese wrestling world started to not make sense to me, and I started to enjoy fewer and fewer promotions, that, hey, you know, at least we always have Dragon Gate. You know, that's what we do here. That's what matters. They can go in the bin. I am tired of this promotion, Mike. Let's talk about Kobe Sambo Hall.
All right, so they were back in the friendly confines on Sunday the 31st for their Kobe Sambo Hall show, which I think, do you want to do a show review, or do you just want to talk about big takeaways? We didn't really consider this when we were doing planning earlier about this part of it.
What a great question that is. Do I want to do a show review? No, not really.
Okay.
I loved the opener. Those six guys we'll talk about later on in the podcast. I think they're all great wrestlers. Anything they do, I'm interested in. I did not care about UT versus Jiro. I did not care about Hoho Luna and Punch Tamanaga versus Aki and Gucci versus Problem Dragon and Takashi Yoshida.
Genki Horiguchi. Don't see why he needed to win that match.
No, yeah, great. I couldn't agree more. Love Hoho. Not sure why he needed to win that match.
Outside the ring, love the guy, but what are we doing there?
Maybe a story will come out that Aki and Gucci are being punished for all of eternity, but God, has their booking over the last 3 weeks been completely baffling. Let's see. Genki Horiguchi won a battle royal in which he eliminated half of the heel unit. I'll just leave that there.
Ultimo got his theme music played somehow.
Yes. Cielo versus Monte. Let's table those thoughts.
Yep.
Yamadoi versus Tanaka and Yoshioka. Very nice of Yuki Yoshioka to show up to work with a shirt on and give minimal effort. I thought the Tanaka Yamato stuff was thrilling. I thought the Tanaka Doi stuff was very good. Unfortunately, this match made me want Ryoya Tanaka versus Yamato at Kobe World, which I don't think is a possibility. And then your eight-man main event was fine. I don't know. Why was this match built around BB Hulk? What has happened to this promotion?
Yeah, like points. Yeah, no opener. Great. Like
for clarification, that was Kame, Rita, and Mochizuki Jr. versus Homare, Kazuma Kimura, and Ryo Fuda, who are Fuda included. And Lord knows I've been hard on it, but those might be my six favorite guys in the promotion right now, other than Tanaka.
Yeah, for me, I am happy that Homari brought back the drop salt into the wrestling lexicon. That was tight. Fuda, I have issues with, because he always, like, the guy has, like, no emotion until he faces a Mochizuki. And
I've been saying that for three years.
I see it now.
He looks like fucking Kawada on this roster compared to some of these people now.
True. UT pulling Jiro's shtick was kind of funny to me, but I'm higher on Jiro than you, so that's fine. Same things about the three-way tag, Royal Samba. We went through that. We're going to talk about Cielo and Monte later. Yeah, it's really hard for me to believe that Yuki Yoshioka is going to be the Kobe World main event with that semi-main event, unless the t-shirt's on because he's actually like cutting and getting shredded. Like, that's the only thing, because it just felt like he was happy to be there. And like that with that. And the main event, yeah, the amount of Hulk stuff that like we have to get through. And I know that Hulk is kind of lumped it on the good side because he's in Paradox, but I have no use for BB Hulk. I think I've been off on
he was
BB
completely
Hulk.
Like, he was phased out at this time last year, wasn't doing anything.
He should be a third in a Triangle Gate team and nothing more. And the fact that the finish was instead of Flamita coming back doing awesome things, because he's Flamita and he's still like, he still makes the promotion feel a little better, but like your finish is KZ over Hulk and you're like, oh, okay, let's move on here. Yeah, like the only stuff I would say worth going out of the way for folks would be the opener in CLO versus Monte, to be honest.
I will counter. I will say the opener, and then I really liked portions of Yamadoi versus Tanaka and Yoshioka. I liked that more than
the
anything that happened.
Portions.
Yes, but I like that more than anything that happened in Cielo versus Monte.
That's fair. I had the exact same 3.5 stars for all three, but I was just picking two.
Where are you at in terms of vibe on... I don't think it's this bad yet, but you can check me, because I obviously did not love this show.
Mm-hmm.
Are these Sambo Hall shows better, worse, or the same than some of the dire 2017-2018 Sambo Hall shows?
I think that this one, the fact that you had that three-match stretch of comedy match, nonsensical three-way tag, and then Genki Mania, that colors things.
Event that really wasn't great considering the guys that were in it. Yes, yeah, house show main event. House show ass main event.
Yeah, so I don't feel like I'm like groaning to myself when I would like see like a Yuzushi Kanda versus Kazuma Sakamoto singles match on these shows like in 2019. Like, it's not that bad to me yet, at least this venue.
So the last time they were in this venue, it was April 24th, and it was Horiguchi and Kanda versus Dragon Kid and Naruki Doi, Ishin versus Jiro, a battle royal that Takashi Yoshida won, Kame and Rita versus Kagetora Susumu and Yamato, Tanaka and Yoshioka versus KZ and Strong Machine J, and Cielo, Homare, and Skywalker versus Jason Lee, Coach Minora, Yoshiki Kato.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. This show was a month ago. I don't remember a thing about this show.
Yeah, because it was all Golden Coliseum build.
Yeah. Let me go back one more. They ran this. This would be March 29th. Tanaka Yoshioka versus Aki and Gucci. I remember really liking that. Hyo versus Jiro. A Kai win in the Battle Royal. Genki, Kanda, and Monte versus Mochi, Fuji, and Ultimo. Benkei, Kame, Mochizuki Jr., and Rita versus Dragon Kid, Kagetora, Naruki Doi, Sumi Yokosuka, and then Cielo, Homare, Skywalker versus Ishin, Minora, Kato. Yeah, these Kobe Sambo Hall shows are not great this year, but nothing is great this year. I mean, you know, we're about to get two Korakuen shows, and, you know, sometimes I make the point where it's like, God, this would be one amazing Korakuen show that they split into two. I'm not sure there's one good Korakuen show if you mash up those two cards.
Yeah, do you just want to get into the Korakuen preview and just blow through this?
Yeah, let's preview those. Let's go Thursday and then give our thoughts and then Friday.
Yeah, so Thursday is a 6:30 local time start. UT Gucci and Aki versus Kenichi Arai, Punch Tominaga, and Homare, who's an opener duty on both of these shows. After his loop of baldness, I was hoping we'd get a little bit more. Maybe it happens later on in the shows. Jiro Shimbashi versus Toru Owashi. Yamato, BB Hulk, Susumu Yokosuka, Naruki Doi versus Madoka Kakuta, Kota Minoru, Jason Lee, and Kai. Three-way six-man, Jackie Rita and Mochizuki Jr. versus Strong Machine J, KZ, and Flamita versus Luis Monte, El Cielo, and Kazuma Kimura. Ryoya Tanaka and Yuki Yoshioka versus Hyo and X. Special six-man tag match, Ultimo Dragon, the Great Sasuke and Tiger match versus Dragon Kid, Masaki Mochizuki, and Don Fuji. And your main event is the All-Asia Tag Team Championships, Genki Horiguchi and Yuzushi Kanda versus the Open the Twin Gate and Soryo Tag Team Champions, Ishin and Yoshiki Kato. Your special referee is Kohei Wada. The exhibition match before the show starts will be Kagetora versus Daisuji Gucci.
So, God, I mean, that boy, that card just keeps
that
going.
That three-way tag is fun.
But here's the crazy thing. Let's start there, because I can't even get excited about that match because it's match four. And I don't think it's going to get a lot of time.
And I feel like it's probably positioning Strong Machine J, KZ, Flamita to probably be the next Triangle Gate champions whenever the Okinawa bullshit's over.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do there. I mean, I was thinking about this during the main event of the Kobe show because, you know, like you said, Flamita still carries some level of cachet, especially in this era of Natural Vibes Flamita. So that's 2 years now, where when Flamita's there, that unit feels like a bigger deal. But I mean, Strong Machine J is ice cold as a unit leader right now. He doesn't
He's
come across
ice
like a
cold
star
for a full
at all.
Year.
I know, but it's bizarre. It's why, like, I forget when I'm writing sometimes. I forget that they did the angle where KZ said, "This is now your unit." I can't think of a more meaningless storyline. And this isn't a 2026 gripe. This is
I brought this up years
gripe.
Ago. I brought I this up when he got named that this was useless.
It's completely useless because I still look at KZ as the figurehead of that unit. He's still the guy that if you need a big Natural Vibes match, you go to KZ instead of Strong Machine J, or at least you should go to KZ instead of Strong Machine J.
Well, outside of like the rare Strong Machine J Dreamgate match, who is the focus person who's protected in Natural Vibes? It's not Strong Machine J. It's KZ.
Yes. No, you're exactly right. I don't know. I mean, can we do the Cielo conversation right now?
Yeah. So Cielo faced Luis Monte on the 31st show on in Kobe. He gets the win, reversing a it was kind of wild. Like he did his fade out reverse backhand spring into a Casadora for the win. He cuts a promo immediately on Yoshiki Kato, saying, "Yoshiki Kato, I ain't forgot about you." And Yoshiki Kato says, "You need to do something to actually have me to care. I'm a Twin Gate champion. I'm a double champion. I won King of Chop. I won Young Dragons Cup. Bring me some belts before, or bring me something for me to be worth my time." So that's what we had going in, coming out of Kobe.
So can we live in the world for just a second where Cielo versus Kakuta, or I guess Cielo versus Kato, is a Kobe World main event?
I just like... I saw Jay tweet that. Maybe this is like a me thing. I just don't think Cielo's at that point. Like, I know he's popular and all, but like, that's the most untested Kobe World main event of all time.
Mike, it would be the most untested, other than like rookie Nakamura headlining the Dome. It would be the most untested Japanese main event of all time. So, look, I went through Cielo's cork and history. Just to go, maybe I'm forgetting. Maybe Cielo's like headlined a bunch of shows that I don't remember, you know, because this reading Jay's tweets felt insane to me just because I don't look at Cielo as being on that level either. I mean, I had asked Jay a month ago if Cielo was popular or not, because it's not coming across to me when I watch these shows.
Well, he was getting a ton of calls during the Monte match and afterwards. Like, he is popular. I think that's fair to say. It's just hard for me to believe that there is that much emotional investment in a guy who has only talked on microphone four times, right? And he's been around since September. Like, it's just, I know who he once was and all of that and the kind of push he was trying to get, but that we might as well forget the TN Revolution days. I think that might be something that's coloring everyone with this a little bit. And I'm stoked that he's back, and I'm stoked that we're even having this kind of conversation. I just think, like, God, given everything in this promotion and given how things are, like, do you really want to do like a title switch over in that kind of direction? And because essentially then you fuck off class of 2016 at that point, if you do that. And because at that point, I mean, Shun's not on the new banner that was at Kobe. I wouldn't read too much into that, as that Ben is still out. But if you're moving on to Kato and Cielo, like we talked with Jay about having a lost generation, I feel like that you're kind of creating another one by doing that.
So this is Cielo's Cork and Hall history. And you tell me if you think this guy is ready to headline Kobe World, Mike. November, Cielo and Gianni Valletta defeat El Kakui and Punch Tamanaga 2 minutes 31 seconds. December 3rd, Cielo and Shun Skywalker defeat Dragon Kid and Yamato 5 minutes 16 seconds. December 16th, Cielo and Shun Skywalker defeat Dragon Daya and Yuki Yoshioka 5:59. January 18th, Jason Lee and Coach Minoru defeat El Cielo and Homari 3 minutes 35 seconds. February 5th, Kai and Yoshiki Kato defeat El Cielo and Homari 5 minutes 49 seconds. March 3rd, Team 2000X, Masa Kitamiya, Tetosuke, and Takashi Segura defeat Big Boss Shimizu, Coach Minoru, and Yoshiki Kato, and El Cielo, Homari, and Shun Skywalker 1951. April 6th, El Cielo and Homari defeat Coach Minoru and Yoshiki Kato in a minute 58. May 8th, El Cielo defeats Dragon Kid and Luis Monte in a three-way dance in 8:46. And then on this show, like you said, Kame Rita Mochizuki Jr. versus Strong Machine J, KZ Flamita versus Monte Cielo Kimura on the undercard. And then the next night, and we'll get to this.
Not even the pre-intermission match, because that will be
The pre-intermission match. And then Cielo versus Monte versus Yoshioka in a three-way dance the next night. I mean, this guy's not even close to being at that level. I would trust him to headline an Osaka number two show. I wouldn't trust him to headline Kobe World. Are you out of your mind?
I wouldn't trust him at this point past Champion Gate. But I'm also, I think, a lot more in the sense of Dragon Gate and Dragon System and booking. I think I've found myself to be much more of a traditionalist conservative in that kind of manner. And it just feels like, okay, I'm going to run down this Friday card just real quick. Rita and Junior versus Homari and Kimura, Yamato, Kid, BB Hulk, Kagatora, Ultimo Dragon, Mochizuki, Don Fuji, Toru Iwashi. Jiro has another mystery opponent match, the Yoshioka Monte Cielo match you mentioned, the Natural Vibes versus Natural Vibes, KZ, Ginki, Susumu, Punch Tomonaga, and Kamei versus SMJ, Flamita, UT, Gucci, and Aki, Bravegate, Tanaka versus Doi, and then the Gaja Dokuro Settles Family Business main event. I look at basically matches 4 through 7, and if we're not getting any sort of momentum or movement coming out of those to any sort of, like, not even like July, I'm not even caring about the July Cork, and even though it's there, like, if we don't even really have someone getting into Kakuta's face by the end of this show, what are we doing here? Because it feels like, if you ask me, coming out of that match 4, Yoshioka could step up. That feels that to me. Monte could, but wouldn't. But it just, like, or Tanaka shows up and goes, like, I'm forsaking the 12th defense because I want your ass, Kakuta. Like, stuff has to be happening there to make it make any sense on what's going to go forward for the next 8 weeks going into Kobe World. Because we're at that point, really, Case, because Kobe World's on the 20th of July. We're less than 50 days away.
And it's the point that we're going to have to continue making until we get through it. But again, all of this stuff, all of our complaints with this promotion, if there was a guy that we go, okay, well, they've been grooming him since January, they've been grooming him since March, or they've been grooming him since April. If the direction of the promotion was obvious coming out of Golden Coliseum, which, again, as I talked about last week, I go, okay, well, what's, like, I don't understand. Is Homari supposed to be down on his luck? Is he supposed to be ashamed that he got a haircut, or does it not affect him? Or I don't know what story they're telling with Homari. Shun has by and large defected, and Cielo, I mean, it's not like Cielo got some sort of rocket pack in that cage match. In fact, you and I talked after the show about how we were surprised that he and Kato weren't featured more in the cage match. So it's not any of those guys. It doesn't seem like it's Yoshioka. Again, to me, the safe bet, and this feels crazy, but the safe bet to me is Tanaka more than any of these guys. But it's just, you just see the holes in the booking And the fact that we're going to go into Kobe World and Yamato doesn't have anything to sink his teeth into. And the fact that Flamita's here and Flamita's not really doing anything interesting. And Monte just continues to be hung out to dry. And I think there's a real chance that Kami and Rita don't do anything important on Kobe World this year. This is a bad promotion right now. And the problem, at least for people like you and me, I don't know if you feel this way, but it's actually one of those where sometimes I'll look at Dragon Gate booking and I'll go like, I don't know about this. And then I sit down and I look at some results and I look at some cards and I go, okay, you know what? This is better than I was giving it credit for. Not all of this stuff really jumped out to me at first glance, but they've done the work here. The problem right now is that the deeper you dig, you go, oh God, this is worse than I thought. This is awful. I mean, we're a month out from Kobe World. There's a chance that Homare, Kame, Rita, and Yoshioka, and fuck, let's say Monte too, they might be completely inconsequential on that card. And you go, well, then who else is there? I don't know. Apparently, we're pushing BB Hulk now. Yamato's not doing anything. Yamato's a complete afterthought this year. I think the Yamato versus Gucci stuff is so interesting. I love the way they work with one another. Not something they're exploring. I thought it was obvious, to me it was at least, with the Yamato Gucci stuff, that there should be an ongoing Vibes versus Paradox Triangle Gate thing that takes us to Kobe World, where Vibes have the belts and they're defending against all these different combinations of Paradox. And I don't think it's the end of the world if Yamato, July 21st or whatever that show is, or July 19th, I think, if he picks up Gucci and drops him on his head at Kobe World, and then Paradox win the Triangle Gate belts from there. Because Gucci's young, he's not Yamato, not the end of the world, he'll be okay. But we can't even get that story. We have nothing going on in this promotion right now other than stuff that I don't like.
Yeah, and the things that you would be able to have as a touchstone in fallow periods outside of Tanaka and the Brave Gate booking, which I think we could say, like, if we're doing a checklist and we're going to go give Ryo Saito his report card, the Brave Gate is the one thing he gets above a C on. You don't have the Twin Gate because you have it completely tied up into this All Japan tag Silrio bullshit. So like that's going to need time to unspool eventually. The Triangle Gates, as we talked about before, are in Okinawa on a team that's going to be essentially done after this week. So what are you going to do with that? Like, They are going to fucking put a Triangle Gate tournament on Kobe World on us. I just feel it in my teeth. And it's awful whenever they do one of those. There's just no direction.
There's no direction at all.
Yeah. And like when I had the moment a couple months ago when I go like, oh shit, is this Kota Minora time? That is me trying to read the tea leaves for the way that things used to be and how things would be if things were competent, because like that's where things would go. And then they completely detoured off it. It could be Minora. Minora could be kicked out of Gaja Dokro and says, well, if I'm going out, I'm taking your head with me with Kakuta. And at least that way we would have the main event set up. You know, like I'm begging for that. like just some North Star to go to. I mean, say what we will about Glade earlier on in the show, we at least have stuff on their show coming up for their biggest show of their year. Like, what are we doing here?
It's just bizarre. And it's the tough part, because I don't really think you and I have been in this position before for as long as we've covered this promotion, where it's just sort of all consuming right now. Like, it's the conversation that we're going to have to continue to have until, I mean, you know, maybe they do a 180 on these Korakuen shows and they turn it around, but I wouldn't count on it. It's the conversation that we'll have to have through World, because we're a month and a half out, and I just have no faith in them. I mean, Mike, you know more than anybody the reservations and the concerns I've had about the idea of Kakuta versus Minora. But the closer we get, the closer we get to it, and the more realistic that seems, the more I go, oh, I think this might be their best option. Maybe they should just do this. And I mean,
I'm telling you, I think they have to.
I don't buy into Minora at all. I don't buy into babyface Minora at all. But I mean, it's to a point where, again, I
you know, I think the boring safe option is Yoshioka, and I don't think that would be good. I think the most exciting option is Tanaka. I think the suicidal option is Cielo, and I guess an option is Kota Minora, and I'm not particularly plussed about it, but it seems like that's the direction that we might be headed. But then again, if it's not, then I don't know what they're going to do. This is a promotion in complete disarray right now. It is really, really interesting to watch, even just compared to like...
Oh, it's fascinating.
I mean,
it's, you know,
like the May and June Korakuen shows last year that we got in May, we got that Mochizuki versus Valletta match, which I think is one of the best individual Mochizuki performances of his entire career. And mm-hmm. then we got the Hyo contra Hyo match. That was a year ago, right?
Yeah. No, that was last year.
So that was the May Korakuen show, which was the consensus Dragon Gate match of the year. And then we got all of these great title matches in June last year. And instead, the shows this year, we don't have a Triangle Gate match because they're in Ryukyu Dragon. We don't have a Twin Gate match, which is a bummer, but they're tied up and guys that have their own other thing going on. And so we get an All Asia tag match, which, again, I want to go back to that Thursday show for just a second but an All Asia match and a Tiger Mask retirement match headline the first show. And then the second show, yes, we get Tanaka versus Doi, which is on brand perfect. I'm all about it. And then just this hodgepodge Gaja Dokuro main event that I'm sure will be important. But I mean, Mike, I'm not excited to watch it.
No. I I'm excited to get through it. And like, I guess the one thing about this that, like, if I'm looking for a tether, and I my brain probably as well as anyone who I talk wrestling with, it's kind of fascinating at a way to see this happen. Like it is the one thing that's holding onto my sanity of 2026 wrestling, going like, all right, is this going to like end up being like this giant faceplant, or somehow like the execution and the landing will come in, and then we'll talk July 21st or 22nd, and we'll go like, well, hell, it worked out, or like we're on a good direction here. Like this, like I find the foibles of this promotion kind of fascinating in a way, because it's a promotion that we know how good it is, we know how good it can be, and we know how good it should be. And I don't know, maybe there is just like a little bit of the scientist in me, the anthropological scholar, that I'm like, let's see how this is kind of going in a little bit. And I don't know what that says about my psyche, to be honest, Gase, but yeah, it's kind of interesting in a weird way.
Oh, it's interesting in a weird way, absolutely. So just to go back really quick on that 6-4 yeah. Thursday show,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm of the belief, I'm of the stance, and I don't think I'm going to have time to write anything, which is a bummer. I think Tiger Mask 4 historically is an underrated wrestler.
Absolutely.
He should be celebrated a little bit more than he's being celebrated for. That being said, don't need him in the semi-main event of a Dragon Gate Korakuen show. You know, if they flipped the match order and they put that Tiger Mask match as match 4, and they put match 4, which is the three-way six-man tag, as the semi-main event, I have completely different thoughts on this show. But that's not the reality that we're living in. But I do want to note, you know, I think historically Tiger Mask is actually underappreciated, slightly underrated. So they want to honor him, fine. Match 5 is Yoshioka and Tanaka versus Hyo and X. Who is your read on who X might be?
I think it's Ishimori, now that you've put the thought in my head.
I mentioned Ishimori before the show to you.
Yeah, like it would be cool if Ben's back, but I don't know why you would be saying X for Ben.
Yeah, that would be really strange.
It would be, could it be Shun? No, I don't think it could be Shun. Yeah, I think it's Ishimori. Maybe, yeah, Ishimori. The other names that could make sense, Yo. Actually, Hyo, and it's Yo. I'm sorry, it's Yo. It's going to be Yo. I'm sorry, Case. It's going to be Yo, and he's awful now.
Yeah, that does not excite me.
It shouldn't. Like, he is, I don't know.
Do you think they'll do Tanaka versus Yo at Kobe World?
No, because it feels like Yo, he's still alive in Best of Super Juniors. right now at this point. It's impossible to tell where the real direction is in the New Japan Junior Heavyweight Division, of course, but I can't see them bringing Yo over to lose. You know, I mean, when really do New Japan wrestlers lose in Dragon Gate? Like, I don't think you bring them in for Kobe World.
Boy, none of those options you gave me excite me at all.
I'm sorry, buddy.
No, it's thank you for being real.
Shun would be
me.
An interesting one. Shun, like, coming back as a face with Hyo would be weird. It would be very disconnected, but at least.
But you know what? I'd be okay with that. I would, honest to God, be okay. And I could look past some storytelling liberties if Shun just came out and was a little bit more rah-rah than he has been in 6 years, because I'm ready for it. I don't feel like I need a complete justification of it. As a fan, I'm there. I want to cheer for this guy. I said this about Saipatra in October. I said the best thing they could do would be to lean into all of their face tendencies. This company nailed, destroyed, grand slam the Giovanni Valletta face turn. Mm-hmm. And then even after that, they're like, okay, so they're going to be unlikable tweeners. We're not going to make a decision on what they are. And it killed me, because I just want to be able to cheer for Shun Skywalker when I'm rooting for wrestlers in this promotion. And it's just not there. So they could do that, and I wouldn't feel any sort of need for any massive storyline justification. It really would not bother me. But I don't think it'll be Shun. I think it'll be Yo.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Yeah. That's the Cork and Hall show is coming up. We'll talk about it early next week. You should hit your feed a day earlier than usual. I'll have the written review for Thursday. Case will have the written review on Friday. And maybe we'll be coming back to the show on Monday. And maybe things can be better. Is this the kind of delusions that they talk about? Actually, I should say, I do know these delusions that they talk about in therapy. But maybe we'll be back here on Monday, Case, and it'll be a lot better.
No, because the All Asia tag match is headlining the first night, and I just can't imagine that goes well. I mean, it's like I said last week, we're in a position where either Genki and Kanda win, and they now beat Ishin and Yoshiki Kato in a main event, or Ishin and Kato win, and then they go and lose in All Japan. It is a lose-lose situation. It's unbelievable.
Nah, I'm with you on that. Let's talk about something for the rest of the show that's going to put us in a better mood. Voices of Wrestling and Griffin Peltier have put together, I think it's the fourth annual 30 under 30 list? I think it's the fourth annual.
I believe so.
List. It was released over the last 2 days. Balloting was open for like the last like few weeks, and then we were getting captions together for it. But Case, this is genuinely one of my favorite things that we do every year. And I know that I have looked through the 30 for 30 under 30 results, and I have some takeaways of myself, but I kind of want to see where your head is at with the results and who ended up on the 30 under 30 list.
Well, I haven't seen any of the results yet. I have not looked at this whatsoever. I sent in a ballot. I have not seen how things landed.
All right. So, I guess like how we want to kind of take this here, do you want to talk about the 30 under 30 list first, or talk about our personal ballots first?
Let's talk about our personal ballots first and talk about the Dragon Gate guys and then anything else.
Yeah, let's do it that way.
Yeah, that might be of interest to you. And then from there, you can hit me with the results of the actual poll.
All right, so I will run through mine 30-1. Number 30 was Madoka Kakuta. Number 29 is Kaito Kiyomiya. Yep, that's my timeout zone for those guys. Ryuki Honda, 28. Francesco Akira, 27. Aki, 26. Utami Hayashishida is 25, which is the one that kind of blows my mind that she's still under 30, but there we go. Mao at 24. Viento Maligno at 23. Neon, 22. Mochizuki Jr., 21, Sayaka Kurara at 20, Kazuma Sumi at 19, Shelwa at 18, Oscar, 17, Azumi, 16, Gucci, 15, Daiki Oshima, 14, Siri Yamaoka, 13, Rita, 12, Yuto Ice, 11, Hyo, 10, Hamare, 9, Kohei Fujita 8, Jackie Kamei 7, Kevin Knight 6, Mascara Dorada 5, Callum Newman 4. Ryo Tanaka was my highest rated Dragon Gate wrestler at 3, and 2 and 1 were Kyle Fletcher and Saya Kamatami was number 1 for me.
I will not read my full 30, but I will hit you with a few notable ones. No, you're all good. I had Arrow Panther representing DTU in my number 30 slot. I should note that I accidentally omitted Mochizuki Jr. from this list, which I guess is partially an indictment on the booking of Mochizuki Jr., but he would have been on there and Arrow Panther would have fallen off. But I did want to have him on the list because I do feel like he and Fight Panther are the best wrestlers not working in a major league promotion right now. So I had him at 30. I had Kazuma.
Best tattoo photo. I'll let you know. Griffin made sure to get the wild motherfucker there.
I love to hear that. So he was at 30, 29, 28, 20. You know what? I'll read the full list. Who cares? So Arrow Panther at 30, Kazumi Sumi at 29, Nick Wayne at 28, Ryuki Honda out of All Japan at 27, Gabe Kidd at 26, Kazuma Kimura at 25, Daniel Garcia 24, Sho Mizuno from Osaka Pro 23, Daiki Odashima from Noah 22, Kosei Fujita 21, Kaito Kiyomiya 20, Showa 19, Homare 18, Yuto I 17, Viano 3, Junior 16, 15 I had Gucci, 14 Yutani, 13 Zandokan Jr., 12 Ishin, 11 Ryuya Matsufusa from Osaka Pro, number 10 Callum Newman, number 9 Mascara Dorada, 8 Ryuya Tanaka, 7 Rita, 6 Neon, 5 Yuma Anzai, 4 Kevin Knight, 3 Atlantis Jr., 2 Jackie Kamei, and number 1 with a bullet, didn't have to think about it, with Shun Skywalker no longer being eligible, Kyle Fletcher, who I not only think is the best 30 under 30 wrestler, I think right now he is the best wrestler in the world. So my Dragon Gate guys, Kamei, Rita, Tanaka, Ishin, Gucci, Homare, and Kazuma Kimura, with an honorable mention to Mochizuki Jr.
Yeah, mine would be, just to list the Dragon Gate ones one more time, Kakuta, Aki, Mochizuki Jr., Gucci, Rita, Hio, Homare, Jackie Kamei, and Ryuya Tanaka. The one that I left off that kind of kicked me that I ended up doing the caption for, even though I didn't vote for him, was Ishin. Ishin was a name that I should not have left off my list. He's in my Mochizuki Jr. Phase for that one. Case, we represent the two viewpoints, really, for number one. Kyle Fletcher and Saya Kamatani, I don't know when the vote totals are going to get released, but they were 2-1. Saya ended up winning the poll this year.
I'm sorry, say who won the poll this year?
Saya Kamatani.
Oh, okay. And then Fletcher at number two?
Fletcher number two.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, I can't speak to Kamatani, but I Fletcher should be either one or two. So that makes sense.
Running through the Dragon System honorable mentions, Arrow Panther, Aki. I'm just going to scroll down the list as I'm doing this. So there is a pause here. I am filling air. So those two, Daya. So that there was a Daya voter. I think Jesse was the Daya voter. So Daya, it was an honorable mention as well. Gucci, honorable mention. Hio, honorable mention. Ishin, honorable mention. And just that J, there's so many of these.
I will say Hyo, I feel
Kimura,
like...
Kimura, honorable mention. Kasumi, honorable mention, sorry.
No, you're good. Hyo, the bummer with him is that, with a different Super Juniors output, I think he probably places pretty easily. I would imagine that he's a guy who was on the cusp for a lot of people and then just did nothing to show for it in Super Juniors, which is such a bummer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was the one that we expected, which is the shame of it all, Case. Like it was going to be exactly like this, but, it's a shame that it hasn't really replicated. He has exactly 3 wins like we expected. Kota Minora got an honorable mention. Madoka Kakuta, honorable mention. I'm zooming through as fast as I can. I know this is awful audio. I apologize. Mochizuki Jr., honorable mention. And I think that might be it for the drag. Rita. How is Rita an honorable mention? Are we the only Rita voters? Damn.
That's tough. I mean, Rita for me is a top 10 guy. He's a complete shoo-in. And I think
I think, you know, he's just a remarkable story that's maybe a little bit undersold in wrestling, where I always go back to the point, I made this point after Golden Coliseum, where, you know, Dragon Gate has failed Kame and Rita because the type of person that gets excited for Forbidden Door, or the type of person that has embraced the CMLL wrestlers in AEW, even if they're not regularly watching CMLL, that type of fan should hit their pillow every night hoping for a Young Bucks versus Kame Rita match at some point, because I think Rita would blow people's minds if more people saw him, but they just haven't broken out in that way. And so it doesn't surprise me at all that Rita's not in the top 30.
I mean, Rita is perhaps the most outstanding wrestler in the world under 160 centimeters. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Hamare is 29, getting into Dragon System guys who've made the 30 under 30 list. So Hamare is
I think
first.
That's a very fair placement for him.
Ryu Tanaka's 19, which
I think that's
like
a little
that's,
low.
I think that's very low, personally. And that's it for the 30s to 16. And I could tell you who the one Dragon Gate person in the top 10 is. He is number 10. He is Jackie Kamei. I'm happy with Jackie at 10.
Yeah, Kamei at 10 feels like a win.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I personally, at least with the way that I kind of look at it, I think Tanaka has this. This is one that I feel like that I try to balance both the present and future with, and that's why Saya Kamatani was such an obvious number one for me. But for like Kamei versus Tanaka, I think is the interesting conversation, because you have Kamei, whose present is that he is, as I wrote about it, no one has the sheer amount of acrobatic control or body position as he does. He is a top wrestler. I mean, the problem is that he's a sumo yokozuna in a company that needs a Shima. And whereas I think Ryota Tanaka is that Shima, and has, you know, he's having the 2025 and 2026 that we will come back and talk to about 5 years from now, if you ask me.
Yeah, you know, the difference is that I can give you about seven or eight. Wow, I don't know if you can hear that fire truck. Jesus Christ. This apartment, really? I've lived here a year now, and this apartment was so quiet for the longest time, and it has, over the last few months, it has become such a noisy apartment. You can cut all this if you want, but my upstairs neighbor, I was pissed off during the show last week. I don't know if they were dropping bowling balls up there or what they were doing, but there was so much noise coming from upstairs, and now there are traffic sounds coming that I don't know. I'm moving in a month, so it doesn't matter. But anyways, you know, I can give you seven or eight 4¾ star and 1 5 star Kame match throughout his career. And for as great as Tanaka's been, he just doesn't have that recall of the true top of the line, high end level wrestling. And so for me, even for as great as Tanaka's been during this Brave Gate run, it's an easy decision for me where I can go, okay, well, Tanaka's great. I think they should be building around Tanaka as much as they can. But Kame is still a level above Tanaka in a way that Tanaka just doesn't have the resume to compete with now.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair, especially about the top end thing. I mean, because when you like think about Tanaka, what would be his greatest singles match at this point?
That's what I'm looking at right now. And it's probably, you know, it's probably the Kame match from last year. And if it's not that, then it's probably the Billy Kin Kid match, but it's probably he and Kame from last September.
Yeah. And I think that at this point, I mean, the thing that's sickeningly about Kamei is that he entered the promotion at 20. So like he's going to have another three more years on the ballot here. And I think that's going to be kind of the interesting thing. I think that we really felt the loss of Shun Skywalker in the class of 2020 or class of 2016 greatly aging out, other than Minoru. And well, Minoru's not 2016 because lumped in there, but
Hyo.
Yeah, other than Hyo, right. And it's at a point now where like Kamei at 10 makes me think, okay, I don't think that there's going to be a world that Kamei can be have a reasonable argument for number one, because he's never going to be a world champion. And I think that is kind of limiting for him. Whereas I look at Tanaka and I go like, Kamei is probably going to end up being there for the next few years. Tanaka is the person that has the huge amount of growth, and I mean, Mochizuki Jr. should be up there, but we all know why Mochizuki's not up there.
I think this year in particular, you're really seeing the harm of the bad booking show out in something like this, where realistically, I think, you know, on my own ballot, I think Kimura could be a few spots higher. I think I could remember Mochizuki Jr. I think, you know, I mean, Gucci's completely papered off since April because he's been given nothing else to do. And so if I had to vote again today, I don't know if I would have Gucci that high just because of lack of opportunity. But, you know, Kame's made the most of the few opportunities that he's had. Tanaka's made the most of a lot of opportunity, which has been really nice to see. But, you know, a year from now, if this promotion is being booked the same way that it is, I think these guys are going to struggle more and more. And I think that's a bummer because there's so much young talent in this promotion, but it's now at a point, and this has never been Dragon Gate's issue, but it's now at a point where it's getting harder and harder for them to shine.
Yeah, no. And until the company gets itself right, it's going to be harder and harder. I mean, I know the two of us, like, we have our beliefs and we believe in our voting, but it's going to be harder and harder, I feel like, for people who aren't, like, dyed-in-the-wool Dragon System partisans to really pick them up, especially, like, when you look at, like, promotions like Stardom, who, like, have a lot of the same situations that that Dragon Gate should have or has had in the past, but is booked competently. You know,
well, I'll say this as a non Joshi viewer. Mm-hmm. This list feels very Joshi heavy. Now, I accept the caveat. I accept the caveat before John Carroll. Don't get mad at me. I accept the caveat that New Japan's a mess. Noah's a mess. All Japan, you know, their guys are represented. I think.
I think it's fair.
You know, and I had Honda on my list as well. I really like him, but you know, too. I think all Japan is properly represented. DDT, I think those guys split the vote, and Dragon Gate is what it is. So I get it. I'm not saying my stance is not there's too many Joshi on this list, but just looking at it for the first time as we're doing this, it's noticeably Joshi heavy. But I think. I mean, you tell me, because I'm just flipping through here. Is it all Stardom wrestlers, Stardom and Tokyo Joshi Pro, Stardom, there's Tokyo Joshi Pro, and Marigold?
I mean, not Marigold. I mean,
not Marigold. Okay.
I mean, Marigold. If we're talking about promotions that don't make young stars, like their one young star dislocated her shoulder last week, and that's after Tommy left, and like the rest of the roster is. If we're using a baseball term, non-prospects. And that's considering that someone on that roster is the child of Minoru Tanaka, and I'm calling them a non-prospect. But gotcha. Stardom's in a great spot. I mean, like, you think about it, and in some ways, like, Stardom having people like Azumi and Hanan, Hina, and Rina, like, wrestling for as long as they did and as young as they did, like, you get really good after about a decade of wrestling. And I think that there's some of that playing off a little bit, but they also have their dojo systems is finally kind of stepping up, and it makes a lot of sense. The person that's on the list that I'm going to be very interested about, that I think he was an honorable mention, that I'll be interested in seeing where his career takes him and see where it goes, is Van Vert Jack. I think Van Vert Jack is going to have a very interesting next decade, considering that he essentially has almost like a Joshi like thing where he's been wrestling since he was 7. His dad's a wrestler out of Fukuoka, and now he's making all these indie shows at this point, and it's the lower end stuff, the lower end national stuff, and seeing where he can be going over the next decade. I think that that's an interesting kind of candidate that's on that has made a lot of people's ballots.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's somebody that is very intriguing to me. He's somebody that I want to see more of, and I, you know, maybe
watch
Van Vert Jack.
That's not where to watch him.
Say again.
I was gonna say one place you can watch him is Glate, but I wouldn't go there to watch him there.
No, I don't know. Maybe we're at a scary point in Japanese wrestling where maybe he's the savior of men's wrestling that we need. Which is a terrifying position to be in. But good lord.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Well, buddy, I don't have anything else to touch on this week. Unless
no,
you do.
Nor do I.
All right, we're going to call it here, Case. We're actually done in half an hour before the Love Island USA premiere.
Oh, thank God. It's
a big moment for my culture, Case.
I'm sure it is.
I'm certain you have NBA finals and stuff, but
NBA Finals tomorrow. Mike, I'm locked in on my fucking Chicago White Sox being an above 500 okay. team right now. NBA Finals is one thing, but I got my White Sox.
Okay, so it must be fun to have a sporting team that you devote a lot of your time to that hasn't decided in recent years to become objectively morally repugnant.
No, it's Jerry Reinsdorf is Jerry Reinsdorf, but it seems like he's not putting racist statues out, and that is much like the Dragon Gate booking. The deeper you dive into that racist Texas Ranger statue, the worse it is.
Yeah, and on top of the fact that it's yet again another year that they don't have Pride Month, it's yes. hard for me to. I have not gone to a Rangers game in over a year. And I don't see myself going into one in a while. It's completely killed my love of baseball, to be honest. Like, you just can't, I just can't support like going to games like that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But at least case on Monday, we'll have these two Corkins to talk all about. We'll have written reviews up on Voices of Wrestling as well. And we're going to get to Kobe World, buddy. I'm here for you, and we'll get there together.
That sounds like a threat more than a promise.
I thought you were pausing because I thought that there was like a siren and you're wanting to
sneeze. I thought I had to sneeze and I get it. But I just that sounds more like a threat than a promise. I'm not sure I want to get to Kobe World this year.
Well, we'll see where the next 6 weeks take us. You can follow us on social media at Open Voice Gate, both on Twitter and on Blue Sky. Case is on Twitter at _ in your case. I'm on Twitter at Fuji Heia with two eyes like Don Fuji. The Voices of Wrestling Discord is a great place to join in the conversation on Dragon Gate's befuddling booking, as well as the Open the Voice Gate channel, which is whenever we have a historical episode or those days going up, we make sure that we have stuff posted there for you. We're currently one of our YouTube channels went down for those days, but I'm going to find a way to get that stuff back available for that. But we post all of that there as well, and the next of those days should be coming up before the end of June as well, and it's going to be a big one. But Case, I think that's it for us tonight. We will be back with you next week. Take care, everyone.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.